This is the Nacho Average Podcast, where fajitas don't sizzle, but the talks are bold!
Well, I want to welcome everybody to the first ever podcast of Nacho.
Hey, didn't I just tell you?
What?
To just say,
yeah, I know, but
what's up, guys? I'm Cisco Marquez, right. And I got it from here.
What's up, guys? I'm Cisco Marquez.
And I'm Todd Weaver, and welcome to the very first episode of Nacho Average Podcast. Me and Cisco have both been in the industry for a long time. How many years do you got?
At least 20.
I'm a little bit above 20, but it's been a good run for us. About 2.5 years ago, we decided to open up an awesome restaurant called Nacho Padres.
Nacho Padres.
And people keep asking where that name came from. We actually had, I think, a list of
over 100 items.
Over 100 names, yeah. Right? Of what we wanted to call it. And we do have a couple other restaurants. And so we kind of polled a couple of people, and Nacho Padres kind of just kind of hit the mark. And just saying over it, we thought we could use a brand, brand a lot of stuff around the name Nacho Padres. To be clear, it's not Nacho Priests. It's more like Nacho Daddies.
Yeah, Nacho
Daddies. Yeah, it's been a roller coaster of a ride, wouldn't you say?
I would say. I mean, we established in 2022, and it took us 2 years to get the doors open. So,
speaking of 2022, there's a lot of talk, a lot of say, like, why do y'all have established 2022 on the walls of the building? We did sign a lease in 2022, so that's 2 years that we had to wait till we opened up the doors. That's a year full rent that we had to pay for. Yeah. And we felt best that if we kept the 2022, it's kind of our stripes of what it took to get these doors open. Don't you think?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we went through a lot in those 2 years, a lot of construction or whatever the case may be, but we went through a lot.
Permitting,
design.
Yeah. Design.
All the above.
Yep.
Everything that goes into building a restaurant and obviously conceptual, coming up with ideas. What we wanted to be, and more importantly, what we didn't want to be.
Yep.
So,
I mean, it's been about 90 days since we've actually opened up the doors. Maybe a little bit more than that, don't you think?
Yeah.
Right around 90 days?
Right around there.
You know, and for 2 years, the local community kind of was excited for us to open up. I mean, we didn't really get to put a lot of stuff out there, a lot of information, because we had so much issues with the building stage of this process. We've opened up a couple other restaurants that only took about 8 months, 9, 10 months. And restaurants that we've opened in the past, we've kind of given a 6 month like heads up of, hey, this is what our restaurant's gonna be. Here's some of the menu items. This is gonna be you know, the drinks that we're gonna have. But with the build out process, you know, we didn't have a kitchen ready in time. We didn't have our bar ready in time. We didn't have the things that we needed to actually go out there and be like, hey, this is what Nacho Padres is all about. And to just have an empty building, it's really hard to you know, let people know, hey, these are the fajitas we're serving. This is the price point. These are the fresh ingredients that we're using in our margaritas. You know, we didn't have that time.
Right.
And so I think, you know, starting right off the bat, you know, we weren't able to give the local community the outlook of what Nacho Padres was going to be, the expectation of what the food was going to be, what it's going to taste like, what the drinks were going to be. And I think people had 2 years of built up excitement because they know of some of the other restaurants in the area that we have, and we weren't able to deliver that. And when they walked in, you know, some might have thought it was a nacho bar. Some might have thought it was something else, you know? And then also, we weren't expected to be, you know, busy 14 hours out of the day, having 1,000 people through the door a day. And we just, I don't think we were prepared to see that with the staff. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, typically when you open a restaurant, you've had plenty of time to be in your space and even in your kitchen and kind of work through some of those things. And this one was a little bit different, you know, and I think that's kind of par for the course for restaurant business and the bar business, that sometimes, you know, you may have a great idea, but you don't have the opportunities to get into the space and really do the things that you want to do the way you want to do them.
Right.
So I definitely agree that this process was different than anything I've experienced before. I think we've collectively opened a lot of restaurants separately, but even myself, you know, last place I worked, we opened a bunch of restaurants, but it was, you know, kind of copy paste and redo. And this is different because we wanted to do something different, and we didn't want to be average. We wanted to be different.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't want to be average. We wanted to be different.
Yeah.
You know, with some of the other concepts that we have. You know, we kind of have that checks and balances of how this goes and what it looks like, and we use the same contractors and this, that, the other. And this one was different. You know, we don't want to give excuses, because at the end of the day, we're business owners, we're entrepreneurs. We know mistakes happen, right? But, you know, we want to just give a little bit of an insight of what it takes to actually open up a restaurant.
Yeah.
And we'll be the first ones to admit that, you know, we might have messed up the first 60 days on this thing, yeah. right? But that's not to say that we don't have excellent food now and awesome drinks, and our staff is coming around. And we're looking forward to what the future holds. It's just, it takes a lot to open up a restaurant, especially 10,000 square foot restaurant, and a community that you've grown up in. You know, we have other concepts in a 3 mile radius, two other concepts that, you know, our community loves. And we hope to have Nacho Padres the exact same thing.
So. Yeah, I agree. The food that we're serving is outstanding. The service is definitely much improved. A lot of our staff were inexperienced, and now they've had, you know, 90 days-ish there and abouts to kind of come up to par where we want to be. And we're still continuing every day to make that a better.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing goes with our food. Even though we think we have exceptional food and we're serving a great product, and we still want to continue to work on explaining to the community or getting that word out to the community about what it is that we are serving. You know, when we decided to do this, there was two things that were super important to me if we're going to go into the Mexican or Tex-Mex arena, and that was phenomenal fajitas and awesome margaritas. Mm-hmm. And I think that at the core of Tex-Mex, that's what we're supposed to be about. And I think that a lot of places have gotten away from that. I think that we want it to be better than that. We want it to be better than what people expect and what the average is out there. We didn't want to serve cheap food. We didn't want to serve poor quality ingredients. We wanted to give the community something that was desirable. And for me personally, people who work every single day, I respect what they do. It doesn't matter what walk of life they come from. I know that earning that money comes with a high price, whether it's their family, being away from their family, or you know, just the sheer amount of time and effort that goes into earning a paycheck, earning a salary, whatever that case may be. And so when they come to Nacho Padres, I want them to feel like, hey, we've got this, we got you covered, you're on vacation now, enjoy those awesome fajitas, enjoy those awesome margaritas, let us take care of you, let us cater to you. And I think it's taken us a little bit of time to get there, but I feel like you alluded to earlier, yeah, we made some mistakes at the beginning for sure. It's the first of its kind, but we're so much better now for it.
Right.
And I think now we can actually deliver on some of those expectations and internal promises that we made to ourselves of what we wanted to be and what we wanted to accomplish for sure.
I think what also is super important for people to understand is that Nacho Padres is not a chain. The other concepts that we have are not a chain, right? We both started out as busboys, barbacks,
yeah.
servers. And 20 years ago, we opened up Cheesecake Factory right here in the Woodlands,
yeah.
right? We don't have this huge team of people behind us to tell us, hey, this is how it's supposed to go. It's all trial and error, right? For people that don't think that we're local, you know, I grew up in the Woodlands in 1977, right? You were here 20 years ago with me at Cheesecake Factory. We've opened up several restaurants in this area, and I live 2 minutes away from here.
Right.
I lived in Imperial Oaks right behind this shopping center for the past 7 years. You know, we're here, we're local people. And I hope people understand that although we may have other concepts, this has been a work over, you know, 20, 25 years to get to this point, and we're learning every day. Yeah. Every day is a challenge, and we're just trying to get it right. Also, the other important thing is we're not too big for our britches, and we're listening to our community.
Right.
So if we see that the community doesn't like our salsa, you know, we're going to change our salsa. We're going to look at it. We're going to inspect it, make sure that we're providing a good deal. Or we're going to add a totally different green salsa just to make sure that people have choices. You know, if they don't like a certain dish or they don't like a certain drink, we're looking at these comments. So we ask you guys to comment on that stuff. It's where we learn the most, right?
Absolutely.
We understand there's haters too. There's people that just aren't gonna like us, and they're gonna say stuff about us, and we have to have thick skin. That's the reason we don't comment on half the stuff, because, you know, we'll just let the haters hate. But right. it does, it takes a lot to do what we do. It takes a team of over 100 people to get this thing right. And I think it's important that people in this area know that, you know, these are local people that are running this place. These are local people because we saw a need for a Mexican restaurant with a little upscale kind of feel and vibe to it, but also a fun feel to it that has special, you know, dining rooms where you can bring you and your family for a birthday or whatever. We have a huge space for an indoor patio, which is the first of this area, you know? There's a lot of cool things about this. And we just hope the community understands that to open up a business takes a lot. You're gonna hit home runs, and then you're gonna strike out sometimes. And we might have one strike against us. But at the end of the day, you know, we're trying to do whatever we can to improve this community, give back to this community through, you know, charity events. You know, our first event was a charity event that we gave to Conroe ISD to help with the kids' lunch program. You know, we don't like to say that stuff, but you guys need to know that we are deeply rooted in this community. We give back to this community, and we want you guys to be a part of Nacho Padres because we think it's important.
Absolutely. You know, going back to what you said earlier about being local, you know, before we kind of joined forces to kind of do this Nacho Padres project, it was one of the things that I loved as an outsider looking in, the commitment to local, right? During COVID, when people suffered, SMG and your team really did whatever you could to take care of your team, your staff, your partners, and even the firefighters, things that people, things that you have a passion for, helping other people. And that's something that I wanted, you know, something I wanted to be a part of, something that I wanted to contribute to. You're born and raised in this area. I moved here about 22 years ago, but all of my children were born and raised, are being raised in this area. I have four kids, and they all are part of this community. And so this is home for me. You know, my roots are deeply rooted here. I'm not going anywhere. And that's, again, like you said, that's something I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about giving back to this community that's helped me grow and helped me establish a career and a life here. And so I am so excited, even in a few months into it, and with all the things and struggles that we've gone through to get this place open, and even after open, just the different things that we've gone through. I'm super excited every single day that I come into the building, because I know that we're impacting this community, right? Whether it's one table at a time or whatever the case may be, I'm excited about it every single day.
Me too, man. And I think, you know, for the first episode, I think we can end it here, but give people a lot of excitement about the future. You know, on future episodes, we'll be talking about how we make some of the food, how we prepare some of the drinks, what we're doing in our local community, how we're providing good service. And then maybe we invite a couple guests on just to see their experience, right?
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, we want to be here for a long time. We plan to be here for a long time. We want the community to be part of this. And we thought this would be a cool way to just do a small sit down kind of podcast, because it's a cool thing to do now, right?
Yeah.
To kind of give an insight of who we are, you know? I'm Tex, and this is Mex. For those people that think that, you know, white people run a Mexican restaurant, there is a white person, two other white people that are part of this, but, you know, we hired the best Hispanic person in the business to make the Tex-Mex part of it. But anyways, I mean, I think it's a pretty cool first episode. I'm excited for the future, and I hope people listen, watch.
I do too. I'm excited for people to join the podcast and watch us and stay tuned for different episodes that are coming up. And I'm going to, like you said, we're going to invite some people into to sit down and eat with us while we kind of chat. And we're also going to invite you all into the kitchen to see what it is that we do every single day, and just be a part of that whole process and understand that we are using fresh ingredients, and we're just back there having fun every single day.
Yep. So, hey, cheers to your first Nacho Average podcast episode.
Hey, thanks, man. You too. All right,
brother.